This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast, and we're excited about the Jefferson District football season, really kind of the Jefferson District play getting going. And but let's talk this last week. We got to give it out to the C&G Road Grader of the Week, and it's got to go to Western Almar's Ben Life. Tremendous performance by the Warriors, who bounced back from an 0-2 start to beat Waynesboro. And Ben Life is the lone returning starter on that offensive line, and they played an awfully good game against the Little Giants.
Yeah, and we've almost been teasing this one for a while now. Been talking about, you know, sort of this is the guy at the center of where good things need to happen for Western, and then they go out against the Waynesboro team and just do what Western thought it would do in those first couple weeks and run it down their throats. A lot of hard physical running, and then, I mean, you saw it in person. Where they put up 263 yards, and then the rushing clip, 6.6 per carry. That's you got to like that, especially since it's not a stat that's sort of fudged with a 90-yard run here or there. This is just good first down running.
Yeah, they ran another play. I mean, they got it to a running clock, and so that was certainly helpful in that second half. But from the jump, they were just doing a really nice job of moving the ball 6, 7, 8. You know, sometimes 14 or 15, and they were getting good, really good physical running from their backs too. Some of that is Life and the guys kind of opening up some creases that maybe weren't there the first couple of weeks. But yeah, I think they really had it going on against Waynesboro. There was really nice lanes for everybody to kind of run through. There wasn't a lot of dancing. You know, Carter Shiflett, Austin Shiflett, John Buto, those guys just kind of took off and kind of made things happen. And I think that, you know, when you get in that kind of situation where you're run blocking, you're going downhill, you're moving the ball, that's just huge. I mean, that's exactly what you're looking for. You know, that's what that offense wants to build around. They've got the skill guys to do it. Now they seem to have the line kind of coming together. Cool thing was Carter Shiflett, the quarterback, talked about it afterwards. You know, they really took it personal that people kind of pointed out that, you know, that, hey, maybe that's the group that has to kind of get it together. And they really got it together against Waynesboro. It was a pretty impressive performance and a really, you know, a great way for them to kind of get back on track. You could tell the exuberance after the game. You know, they were really fired up about getting that win. And for a lot of guys, it was their first varsity win. And, that's a group that, you know, Life is a guy that knows, you know, the struggles. You know, for a couple of years there, you know, that group of seniors that was around him last year got kind of knocked around pretty good. And, you know, they put it together and had a really good year last year. So now it really, you know, this is about building for the next few weeks. And we're going to talk a little bit about Western and, you know, the opportunity they've got ahead of them. But before we do that, offensive player of the week, this one's an easy one as well, with, you know, a rivalry game, a big performance. Dupree Rucker, 203 yards on the ground with a William Monroe offense that threw up 54 points.
Yeah, and we're not too used to seeing the Monroe-Madison thing happen in September. This has usually got more of like a Dragon Fest feel to it, usually an October game. So a little early for the rivalry, but it good for both teams to get out there. Good for Madison's offense to see a little bit happening there. But Monroe, we had heard them talk about how much of a sort of smash mouth game that they're going to try and run, and then here they execute.
Yeah,
I mean, it's if you look at what Monroe has done offensively over the last couple of years, it's been, you know, kind of a compliment to its defense. You know, in the games that they've won, not so much the featured threat of this team, and then to be able to put up a 54 spot here, that's more points than they've scored in a long time. They had 22 points coming into this game, you know, through the previous games, and I think that speaks to them finally sort of finding something, executing, and then really embracing sort of a mentality there. And they got an opportunity here with a bye week to really build off that. Dupree Rucker's been a huge part of this team for multiple years. I mean, he's got, you know, this isn't his first year at running back. He did this last year, year before, a guy that they've been really high on for a while.
He's a different kind of back than they've had. You know, a lot of times they've had really physical, the Sizemore kid a few years back. You know, they have physical
grinders,
grinding backs. Yeah. And they still have that guy in Phillip Shiflett. It's just that he gets to play fullback because Rucker is back there slashing at tailback. And I think that when you get, you know, Rucker going and you can get him to the edge or you can get him just off tackle, then he becomes just super dangerous.
If you can find one crease, let him make a move.
He's a nightmare to tackle because he's just really slippery, and he's an effort kid. He seems to always, when we got photos of him on the website, it feels like he's always diving or kind of trying to pull for that extra yard. So he's obviously a guy who's trying to put in that time and really make that thing work. And, you know, they've got offensive linemen who are opening up some things. Maybe that's a huge step in the right direction for their offense. But they are going to jump into Northwestern District play soon, and
Got Western coming up, and then I think they have Brentsville after that. And that's a big one for them. That's a game that's really sort of been a thorn in their side the last couple of years, so they won't have a hard time getting fired up from that one. But yeah, let's see what happens in a bye week. Obviously an opportunity to get healthy, to work on some things, and get ready for a Western team that we've talked about already. We'll talk about it a little bit later, that maybe they got some juice to them too, and
no
so that game already has like a little bit going for it next week.
Yeah, defensive player of the week. This one is, again, this is as easy a choice as the national defensive player of the week was for UVA's Charles Snowden, where he had like 15 tackles and a bunch of sacks. Andy Nwoko giving us a similar version of that up at Blue Ridge. 11 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss. The guy was an absolute nightmare in the backfield. You know, he's a guy we've been tracking for a while. We're going to write about him in the next few weeks. But Andy is a converted basketball guy. He seems poised to be a tremendous impact football player as he keeps learning the game over these, you know, next few years. I mean, he's just he's a freak athlete, and he's just really making all kinds of trouble for the opposition. Trying to block him is really, really difficult. He's just kind of tossing guys around, and then when he's getting in that backfield, he's just a big physical presence. So 11 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, really big performance from him. And he's got a lot of help. I mean, Isaiah Neal is making a big impact. Shermell Thompson fills really well at linebacker. It seems like every time you turn around, Blue Ridge has got another big body that's stepping in there and playing on defense, and they just look locked down on that side of the ball. I think it was like less than 60 yards of offense for Christchurch. They're just playing really well, and Andy Nwoko is a huge part of that.
I mean, Blue Ridge is fascinating right now because here they are 4-0. Their season's almost halfway over.
Yeah,
and they have a perfect record.
Yeah.
Sitting in here last year, they got off to a really slow start and just couldn't dig out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And things are just very different now. You can see, obviously, you see it in the scores, you see it in the highlights. There's just a different level of confidence. I think this is a team, it sort of plays off that. We always sort of think of Blue Ridge as a basketball school, and sometimes in those basketball games, you ride the runs.
Yeah.
Can you stay with the hot hand? And in football, maybe we're seeing that from them, where they've got that sort of mentality of come out, get after it early, and then once we're up, we're confident, and then we're gonna make this ugly.
Yeah.
We're going to make this an easy game for us. And I just think their secondary and their skill position stuff, what they can do in defensive back, safety, wide receiver, there's so much depth for that at a Division II private school level. I think it's really tough to deal with. And I think that'll be the storyline for Blue Ridge this year, is that, this is the surviving member of, locally right now, of the Division II high school football.
And we
teams
used to be the crossroads of Division II football.
It used to be Stab, Blue Ridge, Covenant. You're going to have to beat one of them in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Blue Ridge is the last guy standing there with a lot of the eight-man stuff going around. And they took their licks last year with some of the stuff, schedule-wise, it was really tough. They still got Benedictine on the schedule. We're going to find out how good Blue Ridge is when they get to line up against them.
The few teams that has enough athletes on the back end, like you said, like that depth. We've talked about that concept before, that I think in private school football in particular, there's one guy who's a lockdown. And then after that, like guarding the second guy, if you've got two receivers, you can really give some teams trouble. You get to three receivers, you've got kind of a nightmare on your hands. Blue Ridge is kind of a team where you can have four receivers all you want. There's a lot of athletes back there. There's Lance Gaskins. There's Isis Lewis. There's, you know, Kenyon Carter. Like, there's just dudes on dudes. Cameron Quelly. I mean, like, they're just guys that can really get it done back there, and they're playing really well right now.
And that's always been the case at Blue Ridge in terms of just sort of threats and offensive weapons. And so then when you look at a guy like Andy here, getting it done in between, you know, in the box kind of thing, that's where Blue Ridge starts to make playoff runs, when you have that kind of physical nose for the ball football player.
No team will be able to block that guy one-on-one. May not be able to right now, certainly won't by the end of the year. So really impressive start for Blue Ridge. And that takes us into storylines. And we've got JD play starting. And, you know, we talked last week about how, you know, the JD teams were 5-15. Still not a great week with Western picking up one win, but across the board locally, a much better performance.
Yeah, so that number continues to stack up at 6-19. Going to be tough to overcome that one with a couple games left here. But taking a greater approach, stepping outside of sort of the Albemarle County schools and surrounding counties, and, you know, a couple teams on bye week last week, Fluvanna and Louisa, who were responsible for a lot of those things early on. But yeah, 7-4 for Central Virginia in general.
Yeah.
So you have Fork Union getting back out there with a win, you know, against the St. Stephen's team that has been trouble for them in previous years. So
yeah,
that's a big one from them.
And got it done with an overtime field goal, game-winning field goal, man. That's high-level football.
They're back above 500 now. Mm-hmm. See if they, after that first game, you see from them, you're like, okay, this team's really dangerous offensively. So wins there. Obviously, Western getting rolling. I think that's Western's sort of the team. Within the JD, you've got sort of three, I think, layers to it. You've got Louisa's just set.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about them, you know, I hate to use the term ad nauseum, but they've earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do what Louisa's done and not get talked about the way we talk about them. They're that good. They're going to continue to be that good. You know, they have Charlottesville this week. Louisa's going to be on a roll until they decide they don't want to be.
That's right.
And then, all right, Fluvanna, you're off on a week. You still got a winning record. You got a chance to go up against the Waynesboro team that you're going to have tape on from Western.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fluvanna has the opportunity to sort of some of the same things that Western did against Waynesboro. Now Fluvanna sitting there at maybe 3-1. Things are looking pretty good for them. That's like, all right.
That's our
tier. And then you have Western with an opportunity to suddenly bounce back maybe against Monticello. Maybe they beat Monroe the week after that. Are you looking at 3-2 when they step back out of the district? That could get back to our sort of week 8 Western Louisa. We would love to see that game be what we thought it would be at the beginning of the season.
Western Fluvanna, I think that's going to be a pretty good football game.
That's going to be a make or break game for one of those teams.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then the other, I mean, you hate to put a lot of pressure on a game, but Orange and Albemarle, something needs to happen there.
This is a really big game. Yeah, anytime that you've got, you know, two teams that are desperate for a win, and they're both sitting at 0-4. I think that the edge has to go to an Orange team right now that played really tight with Cortland. That's a really good football team.
Yeah, overtime loss against Cortland.
Almost beat King George. Albemarle has not had the same sort of, you know, a better performance against Harrisonburg, a better performance against Patrick Henry. No question the last 2 weeks that they're steadily getting better. They've had a lot of bad luck. Things have not really kind of gone their way. A lot of injuries. So this room really comes down to who kind of wants to turn things right, who wants to get things headed in the right direction. I feel like that Orange still has those dogs. You know, we've talked about it before. Like, Jalen Alexander is the kind of guy that can change everything in a game.
Yeah, and against the stronger opponents Orange has played, they've just all but said, no, not with him.
Yeah.
Like
find someone else.
Exactly. So I think, I mean, this game comes down to a question. For Orange, it's the what ifs. Mm-hmm. What if those two other games, you know, a couple plays go their way and they're sitting at 2-2? And then with Albemarle, you're sitting there, we got the same record as Orange, and you're asking why not?
That's true.
I mean, you know, what makes us different? The records are the same. There's no reason we can't come out here and pick up our first win. So I think you're going to see, I mean, within these two schools, these are, you know, the surviving Commonwealth District members from mm-hmm. way back when. And they're, you know, the 5A, although Orange jumping back down, but there's still that little rub off. They're used to it sort of, there's an animosity when they play in basketball. There's just something there to this football rivalry. There have been some really close games and some dirty weather over the last couple of years.
Yeah, one game where it was
just torrential rain.
Yeah.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of juice in this game, which, I mean, we're going to need it in a lot of these games, because you take out Fluvanna and you take out Louisa, and we're not looking at winning records.
No.
But now you get to play each other, and so it's who's going to take these opportunities to create winning records. And I think this game is sort of the one you circle this week where someone's season takes a real big turn.
Yeah.
Right here, and you know it's gonna be interesting. Orange coming to Albemarle. We'll see what happens. Albemarle going to Orange. Yeah.
Albemarle going to Orange. Big game out there at Porterfield. You know, you talked about Western, whether they can kind of make, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. They got a chance to kind of reset the table a little bit last week with the big win over Waynesboro. It's possible that we're going to see a really nice little run from them right now. Fluvanna gets a chance to, you know, really keep building that resume against Waynesboro. That middle part of the district, like you said, there's no easy answers there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this really comes down to, you know, who's going to take the right steps at the right time. And it is a big week, a pivotal week, particularly for Orange and Almar, maybe for Western and Monticello as well, because you're talking about a Monticello team that is still looking for a lot of answers over there.
And we talked about it a little bit last week. That's one of those teams that, they've got a guy where if you sleep on him, he's a problem. Malachi Fields can make a big play happen in a hurry, on both sides of the ball and in the return game as well. So, you can't sleep on. I think going forward, it's really an issue of which team decides to sort of take a team for granted.
Yeah.
You know, even I think that's what you're going to look from Louisa, is avoiding complacency, because they've had this just sort of juggernaut schedule up front and found their way through it. You look at the win over Massaponics a couple weeks ago, and you're like, that's such a great win. You almost wish it happened in October, leading into the playoffs, as opposed to early September.
And it feels like every year we have to think through that. At least last 2-3 years, we've had to really think through that for Louisa. But it doesn't seem to me like there's been very many instances where they've come out flat or they haven't really brought it to the table. That is a coaching staff and a team and a program that gets themselves ready for any game, no matter who they're facing off against. And they got the depth to really kind of handle situations.
And I think the one you point to is what they did 2 years ago against Monticello, when you had 2 6-0 teams. And a lot of people coming into that one thinking, you know, us included, like this is going to be a tight one. A lot of great depth around the field for Monticello, and then obviously Louisa made that state final runner-up run there. But Louisa came out in that first quarter, and they just went off, and it was over.
Yeah.
Just like that. They're really good at doing that.
A lot of people talk about business trips. Louisa lives the business trip.
And I think a lot for the business. I think a lot of that also stems off of, you know, maybe one time they took Charlottesville too lightly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was their last district
loss. Good call.
So we'll see that. I bet you they don't take Charlottesville lightly this week. I think a lot of it with Louisa is we don't want this team to be the team that gets to say, hey, yeah, but we beat Louisa.
Right.
I think that's where your pride comes from. We know with Will Patrick running the show over there, pride just, it runs high. They are very, very sort of centered around, let's make sure we do everything we can in our control the way we want to.
Yep.
And let's celebrate it, and let's be perfect about that. So week to week, it's going to be fun to watch them trying to execute this run and see if they can put together another perfect season. Or if there's a team that's ready to rise up. Like that Fluvanna game now, you look at Fluvanna and Louisa. All right, we got some more juice behind that.
Yeah.
Hopefully things sort of stack out JD-wise, where enough of these teams beat each other that, I don't know, it looks a little different when it's not 2-0-4 teams playing each other. And, you know, we're looking at teams that are, let's say, 3-4, each other, lining up against each other. And now you're looking, okay, how does this make us look going into the playoffs? Can we create a resume to try and maybe steal one on the road and make things interesting come in November?